God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. Welcome to this time of Bible study and encouragement. We would love to be a part of the system in your life that encourages you on a regular basis. And today, we'll be headed to Matthew chapter 5 in just a moment with Dr. Wilton's message on Everyone's Anyone. And as we study the Word together, I pray you will realize that God wants to be more than just something we honor in a Sabbath on Sunday. But here on this Thursday, God's ready to give us insight from His living Word that'll help us change anyone and everyone. That's the message from Dr. Wilton in just a moment. And as we are instruments of change, we're also instruments of encouragement. If you need to pray with someone, we're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
So I want to begin today by going to the Word of God, and we're going to be in Matthew's Gospel. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to read to you just one verse from the book of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to really focus on verse 16. In fact, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to read this verse for the next several weeks. It's a verse that I grew up in Sunday school quoting, being taught. As a child, we learn these things if we've had the joy of growing up in the church. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What light? I've sung that from when I was 2 bricks and a ticky high, I think. Hide it under a bushel. Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine. Me hide that light under a bushel? Oh, are you kidding me? No. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. What light? I sing about it. I think I know where it comes from. I think I know who said it. But what light? Who am I? What light do I let shine? What am I not hiding under a bushel? So here's the Lord Jesus, and he's seated on a mountain, and gathered in front of him are many, many people. And he teaches them. And he's trying to tell them who they are in him. He looks at them because they're all believing in him. They want to follow him. They want to get in line with him. They don't fully get it. And Jesus says this to all of these people who are hanging on every word. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others in order that they, others, may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is a man, he's a person just like you and me, and he was a blasphemer, he was a sinner. He was separated from God. He even stood there giving consent to the martyrdom of Stephen. He went out of his way to persecute the church. And then on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. Actually, it was Paul who said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus." And Paul's life was completely changed. He wasn't the same person. And Paul said this. This is what he said. And Paul brought to the table his whole life. He was very well educated. He was at the top of the echelon. He was well respected by the elders of the city. He was considered a leader in his community. Paul's the one who said this. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them to Jesus. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Now may the Lord Jesus write that word upon our hearts. Every person who calls themselves a Christian ought to have light blazing out of them. Everyone who says, "I know Jesus, I follow Jesus, I've been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ," ought to be a blazing light for Christ. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine," and with only one purpose, and that is that God would get the glory. There is no other purpose. Every believer, you and I, ought to ask one question: what are we known for? I've got to ask that question. You have to. Every single person in America who loves Jesus needs to ask that question before Jesus. What are you and I known for? What light shines? Not what we are known against. What are we known for? What light shines? What about me is so brilliant in its shine that any ship that passes by my coast would know that they are safe, that they're not going to run onto the rocks, that because of the light that shines from my life, they're going to find the way to be delivered safe to the destination. What does every child think? What does every person think? I look at one church that I love perhaps more than any other. I love the Church of the Living God. I believe what Jesus said, He said to all believers. He wasn't talking to some and not to others. But when I consider this light that shines, I have to begin with myself, because it's the root of my own struggle before God. It's the battle of my own heart. It's the consistency of my life, that my light would so shine before others that when people see and observe and watch and come into contact with me, because I am a believer, they would see everything about me, and they would, as a result of that, not say, "Jolly good, well done, well done, he's somebody." No, Jesus said, in order that they might glorify the Father who is in heaven. There's the church, which is we, God's people. Who are we? We are the church where everyone can invite anyone to come to First Baptist Church to encounter the living one. What are we known for? Are we known for our stained glass windows? Are we known for the magnificence of our pews? Do we want to be known for our buildings? Do we want to be known by our position, our status? What are we known for as the people of God? Who are we who call ourselves Christians in the United States of America? Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before them that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are the church. We want to be the church where everyone can invite anyone to come and encounter the living one. Let's just think about this in the light of God's word for a minute together. Our light shines, if indeed it does, because we believe that we are the church.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message from Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But I want to encourage you, if you missed a part of today's lesson, or maybe you've been listening throughout the week and going, "Boy, I'd love to reconnect and regather all these messages," you can do that on our website, tewonline.org. Again, that's TEW for The Encouraging Word, online.org. TEWonline.org. It's not only the place where you can hear these messages and share them with a friend, but it's also the place you can sign up for the daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. It really is, in my own life and the lives of thousands of people around the world, a great way to launch your day in God's Word. That's TEWonline.org. Sign up today for the daily Encouraging Word email. I guarantee you it'll be a blessing. Now let's dive back into today's message, Everyone's Anyone, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Not exclusively us, but illustratively us. This is every church where people gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is you, my friend. You might carry the name Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptist or Assemblies of God. We, the church. But to illustrate that point, I have to look at me. And we must look at us. Because when Jesus spoke, he spoke to me. He spoke to us. Our light shines because we believe we are the church. And what does that mean? What is the root of our belief? Number one, we are the church means that we believe. I believe that we, the believers of the church, this gathered church individually, that we are designed by God. God brought us together. God saved us and God assembled us. This is God's plan. No chairman of anything, no pastor of anything, no synod, no council made a decision concerning we, the church. We're God's design. We didn't even hold a meeting. We didn't call together anybody. God said, "I'm going to save you and then I'm going to assemble you together." We believe we are the church. We're designed by God. Furthermore, we are the church. We are made up of changed people. I'm a changed man. I'm not the same person I once was. I'm certainly not the same person since when I gave my heart to Jesus many years ago. And now I'm really going to stick my neck out. I'm not the same person I was when I first gave my heart to Jesus. And I'm not the same person that I was 20 years ago. And I'm not the same person that I was 1 week ago, because I'm a changed man. And he's still working on me. We are a changed people. We do not march according to the drumbeat of the world. This is not the United States Congress. This is not the local meat market. This is not the local television station. This is not secular society. This is not the Constitution of the United States of America. We are the church. We are designed by God, and we are made up of drastically changed people. You want to explain us? You don't have to explain us, excepting by the fact that Jesus changed us. He changed our frame of reference. He changed our attitude. He changed the way we look at things. He changed the heart of our gratitude. He changed our emotion. He changed everything about us because we were just made new creatures in Christ. I don't know how many times I've seen people, I've heard people. I heard a lady some months ago who was talking in a small group of us, and she just loved her husband. I mean, she'd been married to her husband for some 25 years. She never did not love him, but he wasn't interested in the things of God. The interesting thing about the husband she was talking about was that he belonged to a church just like this. Oh, yeah, he belonged to it. And one day, he met Jesus. And this lady was just saying, you know, it's the most wonderful thing. My husband is just so different all of a sudden. And she reported, she said, you know, for all these years, we've come to church, and the moment he walked in, he started grumbling. Didn't like this, wanted more of that, and who said that? And as far as I'm concerned, you're not going to do this, and over my dead body, and they won't get a dime out of me until they buy a new bus, and I'm going to tell you something, it needs to be this way, and it needs to be that way. And all of a sudden, he met Jesus. And it just didn't matter the same way anymore. What happened? Let your light so shine. Have you ever talked to someone and it takes you 30 seconds to know whether or not they've been changed by Jesus? We are the church. We're designed by God. We're made up of changed people. You see, we are fueled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we believe this. We are the church. We believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. He dwells in our hearts and in our lives, because when we accepted Jesus and received forgiveness of sin, we were changed so inside and out, and the Holy Spirit indwells us and He fuels us. He provides the fuel for the trucks of our life. He helps carry us through, and He tempers us. He guides us. He works on us. He taps us on the shoulder. He gives us wisdom that we don't have. He helps us to be kind and loving toward one another. He causes us to bend the knee and to have a humility that we otherwise just couldn't have. We're fueled by the Holy Spirit, but we're the church. We are the church. We believe this because we are instructed by God's Word. I think right now is a very good illustration. It's what does God say? It's a beautiful thing that. We believe that. I'm in. You're in. This church has been in for generations. I'm here to affirm today, not to signify perfectness. I'm here to talk about not just yesterday and about today, but I'm going to ask a question about tomorrow. Are we willing to do whatever it takes because we believe we are the church in this world that is imploding, this angry world? This world in which even mainline politicians are standing on mainline platforms and having the audacity to question religious freedom, the freedom to worship, which is the basic fabric of the heart of who we are, let alone as Americans. We are the church. We believe it. I believe it. That's why we are here. We're actually not here for a pew or for a carpet or for a chandelier. We're not here to be bigger or better or wider or broader or to have more or to have less. We're just simply here because we are the church. We're the church of the living God. That's who we are. We believe we are designed by God, and we're made up of changed people, and we are driven and fueled by the Holy Spirit, and we're instructed by the Word of the living God from Genesis to Revelation. We, the church, we believe, I believe in this book from Genesis to Revelation. I don't believe this book contains the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. It is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It is absolute truth in every way. We believe it. This is what we follow. And if God says it, that settles it. Would somebody say amen? Ah, but it goes further than that. We are the church where everyone, well, it would take me a long time if I was to go up to everyone listening to me right now, but Jesus is talking to you. Everyone's included. That's the church. Believers, every believer, born again of the Spirit of the living God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who is part of the church of the living God. Everyone. We believe we are the church where everyone. Why is everyone? Why all of us? Why are we all included? Why are there no exceptions? We are not in this church about young people. We are not in this church about old people. We're not in this church about rich people or poor people. We're not in this church about white people or black people. We are not in this church. We believe with all of our hearts. We basically, implicitly, biblically, and spiritually believe we are the church where everyone. Why everyone? Excuse me, why everyone? Surely not. Number one, because we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Hands up who is not a sinner saved by God's grace here. We need to know who you are. Because you get to preach next week. It's true, isn't it, folks? Anyone amongst we are the church who would doubt for 1 minute that we're not all sinners saved by the grace of God? That's why we don't point fingers around here. We don't withdraw into little circles and stand there and gossip and tell everybody how bad everybody else is. Be careful, big boy. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God, and we're all servers assigned by the Holy Spirit. We just serve according to the work of the Holy Spirit who gifts us accordingly. We are servers assigned by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's everyone. We're sinners saved by the grace of God, all of us. The only difference between the best of us in here and the worst of them out there is the grace of God. We're all servers assigned by the Holy Spirit because we believe the Spirit of God gifts His children, and God has no giftless children. Every one of us are assigned by the Holy Spirit. Everyone, all of us. Nobody's been left out. And number three, we're all seekers following hard after God. That's everyone. So if you put those three things together, we are the church where everyone, we know why we're the church, why we believe we're the church. We know why this is everyone. What a great thing. Everyone. Because all are sinners, all are servers, we all serve. Every one of us ought to serve because that's what the Spirit of God gives to us to do. And we're all seekers, believers. Do you know what believers do? They want to follow hard after God. Believers are just saying, Lord, what can we do? We just want to follow hard after you. So our light shines because we believe we are the church. Just using ourselves as an illustration. Because we believe everyone's included. And furthermore, we believe anyone is welcome. We are the church where everyone can invite anyone. Everybody say that with me. Anyone. Say it again. Anyone. Now, who would like to define anyone? That means anyone. Why is anyone welcome? Well, Paul was talking about it in 1 Corinthians. Anyone is welcome, first of all, because we belong to no man. That's what he said. I'm all things to all people. We belong to no man. We belong to no person. We have no partiality, no favoritism, no reserved section. There's no reserved section in God's church. We belong to no man. Secondly, we give ourselves to all people. I love you for that, folks. I've had to resist, I don't know whether to call it a temptation. What I really wanted to do was just start showing you how you are following that through all people. doing everything we can because we belong to no man except God, Jesus, and that we give ourselves to serve all people, rich, poor, old, young, it goes on down, just name it. But anyone is welcome, and I think this is probably the most important because we want to win as many people to Jesus as possible. That's, by the way, what Paul said here. I do it all for the sake of the gospel. He said in verse 22, I become all things to all people that by all means I might win some. I love that. I really love that. Everyone's anyone. We are the church where everyone can invite anyone to come, and there it is, to encounter the living one.
Oh, and that's so much more than just a phrase. It's so much more than just our church. It's the body of Christ. I pray that you would realize that God has his arms open wide, ready to receive you, to understand what it's like to have new life, to know the living one, not just know about him, but know the living one who is Jesus Christ. If you'd like to speak with someone, pray with someone, we're here right now at 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. And before we get away, the most important words from our pastor are coming up next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name, my friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you've given your life to Jesus, let's talk about it. Let's pray together. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Dr. Don has some wonderful resources he wants to put in your hands if you've given your life to Christ. You can also connect with us online at tewonline.org, where you'll find out about great resources like this.
We are at a critical time in our nation. There is an urgency. Intolerance toward Christianity is rising. Religious freedom in America is under an ever-increasing attack like never before. Even though the number of attacks have risen, the good news is that the Word of God has not changed. Good will always triumph over evil. We cannot close our eyes and ears to what is going on in our world. Join us and become an encourager. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. We are delivering the gospel with you and for you to others. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but we're connecting online at tewonline.org. And this phone number, 866-899-9673. The Encouraging Word.